Today ends a series that we have entitled Unwrapping Your Gifts. And today represents the moment when we recognize the greatest gift. It doesn't need to be unwrapped because it was sent. And that gift is Christ Himself. And so this morning, as we prepare to hear the reading of the Christmas story, we put Jesus on center stage. And we do that because it's exactly where He belongs. Center stage on this stage, center stage in our hearts. And for the next 30 minutes, or 95, however long it lasts, I want Christ to be center stage in your mind. And I want you, friend, this Christmas to understand the beauty of the gospel. This morning I'm going to be sharing about the bad news of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, and the challenging news of Christmas. So as my fourth grade elementary teacher said to me before he would read a story, you listen so that you can answer those questions during the sermon or during the story. The bad news of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, and the challenging news of Christmas.
I'm going to tell you right now, the challenging news for Christmas for me is to not drift off into nostalgia land when I hear familiar things like Christmas carols and certain parts of the Christmas story read from the scriptures. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just kind of go like off, like, oh, you know, like I think of years ago, or you can't do that when you read God's word this morning. I want to encourage you to do what Pastor John encouraged us to do. Let's listen as if this is the first time we're hearing this truth, this scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Father God, you are with us this morning. Please allow your holy word to sink deep within our hearts. We open our hearts and our minds to you. Amen.
This is a week that retailers just love. They hate the long hours and the stress, but they love the thought that this week in particular makes up for a lot of other ones, doesn't it? Indeed. What makes the next few days so profitable for them? Anxious, impulsive, last-minute shoppers. And this week, more than any other week, shoppers, especially men, don't tend to think much about how much they're spending. We're out there trying our Christmas best to get just the right gift But in end, friends, our motto in the whole shopping experience, it's the thought that counts. And that reminds me of many Christmases ago when Kathy and I were engaged, back when I thought I had a clue about what kind of clothing to buy for her. In the mall near Clarion University, there was a fashion bug and a fashion bug plus, which were at opposite ends of the mall. Now, I remember thinking to myself, why go to fashion bug when you can go to fashion bug plus? I thought plus meant better. I can still see myself walking out of Fashion Bug Plus with a really nice sweater for Kathy, but wondering why all the stuff in the store was so big. But it's the thought that counts, isn't it? Right? Right? You know, a lot of women put up with a lot of stuff and understand that their husband or their fiancé or their boyfriend is really thinking of them, and they appreciate that, right? sort of, right. You know, praise God, Kathy married me anyhow. Well, regardless of our shopping expertise, it is true that the giving of gifts is a beautiful tradition. It's right in line with the spirit of this holy season. And what the scripture says is true, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. But sometimes, you just have to wonder, don't you, what exactly some people are thinking when they give a gift. Like the church member who bought his pastor Reed Buckley's book, Speaking in Public. Or the woman who gave her boss oats. Or the guy who got his wife a workout video, how to lose 50 pounds in 50 weeks. I don't recommend that. You wonder, what were they thinking? Well, I don't mean to be insulting, but God did that when he sent Jesus to the earth for you, for me. Your problem wasn't stale sermons, stinky feet, or being overweight. Friend, it was much worse than that. You see, there was a specific reason, a tragic reason, why Jesus left the splendor of heaven to grace the humble surroundings of the earth. God's gift of his Son to us meant, quite frankly, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. God didn't look down from heaven and say, well, these people need a holiday. No, that's not at all what he was thinking. I'll tell you what God was thinking when he looked down from heaven. He was thinking that there is no one righteous, not even one. There was no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. There's no one who does good, not even one. He was thinking that we are dead in our transgressions and sins, and that we are by nature objects of wrath. God did not offer his Son Jesus because we are such nice people and we needed a holiday. You see, friends, Christmas happened because we were in great danger. The implication of John 3:16 is that God loved us enough to offer his Son because without him we would perish. You know the verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christmas happened because we were in danger. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the bad news of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, and the challenging news of Christmas. The bad news of Christmas is this. And listen closely, don't get lost in it. Because by our nature we are sinners, we have fallen under the condemnation of our Creator, and He is bound by His own righteous character to preserve the worth of His glory by pouring out eternal wrath upon our sin. It's a quote from John Piper. I love that quote. It's a little hard to swallow, but it's a pill I want you to take. Would you read it with me? Because by our nature we are sinners, we have fallen under the condemnation of our Creator, and He is bound by His own righteous character to preserve the worth of His glory by pouring out eternal wrath upon our sin. You see, God does not, He cannot wink at human depravity. Sin is serious to God. Sin is what John MacArthur calls the ugliness of Christmas. The truth is that if it weren't for the ugliness of sin, there would have been no need for Christmas. It's for you. If it weren't for the ugliness of sin, there would have been no need for Christmas. The beauty of Christmas is that Christ entered the world to pay sin's price, to make forgiveness possible for you and for me. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul says that Jesus was born under the law in order to redeem those under the law, that we might be the children of God. You see, it's the law that reminds us that we are sinners. It's the law that helps us to see in the mirror that we're not all that we could be. You think of the Ten Commandments. I'm sure lately that Tiger Woods is thinking about the Ten Commandments. You see, we read those commandments and we get nervous. Some might not bother us, but others give us the willies. They remind us that we're not all that we're cracked up to be. Now think about the Tenth Commandment, for example. Do not covet. One lady reminds us of our tendency to break this commandment when she tells of a shopping trip to get a Christmas tree with her husband. Listen to this. Searching through row upon row of Christmas trees, my husband Norm and I picked one that we liked. Then I noticed the one being held by a woman nearby. It was the perfect tree, but she had it. I watched as she carried it around. And I couldn't believe my eyes when all of a sudden she set it aside. I ditched ours and I said to Norm, "Come on." And I ran over and I grabbed the tree. And I looked at Norm and I said, "Aren't we lucky?" I do feel a little guilty though for taking it before she might want to change her mind. "Well, don't worry," Norm said. "She just ran over and snatched ours." Isn't that just who we are? Isn't that the way we are made? We're flawed at the core. Here's a bit of theology for you to chew on, a little easier than a Piper quote, but I love it. We aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. You think about that. I remember when a few years ago under the Bush administration, the White House went all out to showcase the advantages of the president's ambitious financial agenda. George Bush and another key man in the two-day conference are pictured with a few others in a panel discussion. And right in front of them is a large sign that read, "Financial Challenges for Today and Tomorrow." It was a great event, except that the word challenges was misspelled. And the next day, the Washington Post reported, in the end, challenges proved too much. And try as they may, they couldn't get it right. And that's the way it is with us, friends. We are spiritually challenged. That's the bad news of Christmas. But friends, the good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ was offered to the world by God so that sin's penalty could be paid. Notice what the angel said to Joseph about Jesus. Remember what Pastor Al read? He will save his people from their sins. This is the great truth that Paul tells Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so the good news of Christmas is this, that the wisdom of God has ordained a way for the love of God to deliver us from the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God. It's another John Piper quote. I love that. I say that to myself. And I remind myself that the way that God has ordained is Jesus. You see, God has provided Christ in His wisdom, in His love, to deliver us from His wrath without compromising His own justice. For God so loved the world that He gave us His own Son. And that's why Paul could write in Romans chapter 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is none for those in Christ, because Christ has taken that upon Himself. That's what Calvary is all about. That's why Christmas is so beautiful. And that's why this news is good, because it's for us. You know, with all this talk about sin, you may feel offended. You may think to yourself, well, I'm a good person. You know, I'm not that bad. Who do you think I am? I'm a murderer? I pay my taxes. I'm faithful to my spouse. I'm good to my kids. I help shovel my elderly neighbor's walkway when it snows. Why, I was just out there this morning. Well, you see, I'm not saying that you don't do good things. What I'm saying is this. We are not as bad as we could be. But we are also not as good as we should be. You see, until a month ago, Tiger Woods was a great husband in most people's minds. And he's not anymore, because the truth came out. And there are a lot of things about us that we hide, we don't let people know about, and it's sin. But God sees that. Are you with me? God sees that. And we need to understand that Christ came to deal with our sin. And if we will acknowledge our sin to Him, He'll do something about it. Amen? All right? So let's think about the gospel. This is the gospel, friend. Salvation is not about human goodness, but about God's goodness. Not about human effort, but about God's effort. Not about our works on earth, but about Christ's work on the cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So there's the bad news of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, and finally there's the challenging news of Christmas. The challenge is this, that we must make God's offer of salvation personal. Just because Christ came to earth and ultimately died for our sins does not mean we are Christians. We must reach out and accept by faith God's offer of His Son Jesus. And so, in this sense, it's not the thought that counts, but rather an intentional commitment to trust in Christ's good work and not our own. It's not the thought that counts, it's the commitment that we make. It's not just acknowledging Well, I believe that once Jesus lived, that he died, that he paid the penalty of sin. I have to take it personally. I have to make it personal. I have to invite Christ to come into my life and to forgive me of my sins. That's why Paul said to the church in Corinth, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test, Paul says. And so this Christmas, I challenge you to examine your own heart, your own spiritual life. There are times when people look at me and they say, you know, I'm in a right relationship with God because when I was a baby, my parents brought me up in front of the church and I was baptized. And they may say that to me or to someone else, that's when I got saved. Well, friend, when you were baptized as a baby, let me just share. You didn't get saved, you got wet. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? You didn't get saved, you got wet. Now, hopefully, your parents made a covenant with God to raise you in the Christian faith, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Your parents cannot make you a Christian. You must choose to be a Christian. Now, there are some times when I have that discussion with people, and I try to be as nice as I can, but, you know, that's kind of an in-your-face statement. But I want you to know something. Christmas is an in-your-face event. It's not about Hallmark cards and soft blue and red lights. The ugliness of Christmas is that we needed a Savior. That we were sinners. But the beauty of Christmas is that Christ grew and walked with God, and he obeyed, and he went to the cross, and he did that on our behalf. So how do I become a follower of Christ? Well, if you're a follower of Christ, then just use this as a teaching tool. If you understand that you're trusting in the wrong things, some people are trusting in their works to save them. Some people are trusting in water to save them. I'm asking you today to trust in Jesus to save you. There's a difference. How do I become a follower of Christ? I do five things. I learn my ABCs, in a sense. I admit that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Savior and that His death on the cross has the power to wipe away my sin and to put me in a right relationship with God. I confess my sin to God and I invite Jesus to be my Savior. And I trust in His death on the cross and His resurrection to make me a child of God. And then I desire to turn from my sins. And I walk with God in Christ toward healing and wholeness and maturity. And finally, I enjoy those benefits, the benefits of being His child. I admit, I believe, I confess, I desire, and I enjoy. And there is a certain thing that takes place when someone becomes a believer. There's a certain evidence that comes to the surface, friends. And it's this. Conversion is evident in the life of a true believer because God generates a new taste. Behind the repentance that turns away from sin and behind the faith that embraces Christ is the birth of a new taste, a new longing, a new passion for the pleasure of God's presence. And this is the root of conversion. This is the real reason for the season. When someone becomes a Christian, God puts in their heart a new passion, a new desire. Old things pass away, and a desire for His Word and His people and His presence appears. And so that's why John Piper would say that we are converted when Christ becomes for us a treasure chest of holy joy. If you're here today and you've been trusting in something other than Christ, if He is not a treasure chest of joy for you, maybe this could be your first real Christmas. Maybe today is a day when you pray and start trusting in what Christ can do for you instead of what you can do for you, or what water can do for you, or what any other thing that you're trusting in. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for the gospel. If there's someone here today who needs to know Christ, you pray with me right now. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior. I believe that Christ is that Savior, that He has the power to wipe away my sin. I confess to Him my sin, and I trust in His work on the cross to make me a child of God. I desire to turn from that sin and then to enjoy the benefits of walking with Jesus. Cause me, Lord, to be Your child, and give me an opportunity then to fellowship with Your people and to practice the gifts of the Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for the beauty of Christmas and the challenge of Christmas. And help us to rejoice in that today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen.